Good morning. It is good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles together. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you for loving us and for giving us these moments that we can come together and read together. So God, as we read your word, I pray that you, through your Spirit, would draw us to you. Help us to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, do something with me if you would. Could you remember a time? And you know how whenever I start out saying, could you remember a time? I'm never going to ask you to like remember the day that was filled with blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven. It's always, you know, I'm always going to ask you to dredge up like a bad memory, and today is no different, but it's for a purpose, so just go with me on this. Can you remember a time when you did something bad to somebody else? Something, you know, you did something bad and you realize in the moment or afterwards, it's like, oh, I really shouldn't have done that. Like you were talking about somebody in not a nice way, and then you out of the corner of your eye, you see them and they hear you. Has that ever happened to you? Never to me either, but you know, I'm sure it's happened to somebody somewhere. Remember that time, remember a time, there's many, I'm sure, but remember a time that you've done something, that you did something bad to someone else, and they found out about it. Can you remember how that other person felt? Like, can you, like in your mind, can you remember the look they had in their eyes, the disappointment with you or the sadness that you made them feel in that moment? Do you remember that? Like I said, not a good memory, but just go with me. Do you remember how you felt in that moment? It's like, oh, why could I just reel that back? Is there any way that I could undo what I just did? Do you remember what happened because you did that? Like, was there a friendship lost or something changed or the damage that you did, the time they got wasted, whatever, something you ruined? What happened because of that? What happened? And then, I don't have to ask this. I know the answer, but how do you feel right now remembering that, thinking about that moment? I'm sure if you're like me, you're thinking, oh, that's what I try to forget. I don't want to remember that. Why are you making me dredge that moment up? Those are the moments that that make us feel uncomfortable. They're the moments that we go, I hate that. Well, what is that feeling that we feel when we remember the bad stuff we've done and we remember what we felt and how the people felt and how that whole thing happened? And what is that feeling? That feeling is, that's condemnation. What you're feeling right now, if you went with me on this little journey, you're feeling condemnation. We feel bad because of stuff that we've done and stuff that we should have done and didn't do, and because it can go the other way. It's not just stuff that we did do that we shouldn't have done. It's also the stuff that you can think back and say, I wish I would have done that, and now I can't. I missed that opportunity, and I should have, I could have, and I didn't. That's condemnation, that feeling of, I wish I wouldn't have, I wish I would have, and now I can't. And the truth is that you and I carry around a load of condemnation, and we don't think about it unless we have to, you know, like somebody asks us to remember it, like right now, or you see the person, and you go, oh, and you want to avoid them because you just feel bad, and we carry it around with us. It's that I wish I wouldn't have done that, and I'm a bad person because I've done bad things, and I know that I'm not the person that I should be, and I wish I was a better person, I don't think I'm ever going to be much better than I actually am, because the stuff that I've done in the past tells me who I am and what I'm like, and I'm not a good person. That's condemnation. It's condemnation is this like deserved feeling of I feel bad and I should feel bad because I've been bad. I've offended God. I've hurt other people. I've done stuff that I shouldn't have. I've wasted opportunities to do good stuff. That's what condemnation is. It's not feeling like we're worthy. It's feeling like we're bad, and we carry that weight around with us. And when we feel that way, hey, we try to avoid it. We try to not think about it. But then, you know, a memory flashes in our minds, or we see a person and it's back because it was always with us. We carry this condemnation around with us. And so what do we do with that condemnation? What do we do with it? Well, before we figure out what to do with it, we have to think through, where does it come from? It's not just something that you can, like, positive thinking will away, because that condemnation, that feeling bad for bad stuff we've done, that's not something that, it's not just like a bad thought that we have in our mind or a bad feeling, and if I could just power up my good feelings, I could get over that bad feeling. The reason we feel condemnation is because our offenses and the stuff that we do that we shouldn't do, and the stuff that we don't do that we should do, that creates a kind of a debt. It creates a something. Well, you know, it's, you've taken something from somebody. When I hurt you, I've taken something from you. I've hurt you, and I owe you something now. I owe you that. If I should have helped you, if I drive by you and you're on the side of the road in the rain changing a tire, and I drive by and I don't help you, I could have helped you, didn't help you, I kind of owe you that. And maybe you don't even see me, but the next time I see you, what am I going to do? At least I'm going to try to be like a little nicer, because there's a feeling of a debt that I'm carrying around. And maybe you don't even know about it, but I owe you. Our offenses create these debts. The things that we do that we shouldn't do create debts that we owe other people, and things that we owe God as well. And the problem is that they're debts that we can't pay. That's why I wish I could ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to. I mean, I could, but no one's told me not to, but it wouldn't be nice. Okay, just in your mind, raise your hand, like in your mind, not with your body. How many of you thought, when I said think of that thing that you did a long time ago, something you did and you hurt somebody, how many of you thought of something like from a long time ago? Like right now in my mind, there's something from, I don't know, I'd have to do the math, 20 years ago? It's a long time ago. Why is it not just recent stuff that we feel bad for? It's because we carry this debt with us, and our offenses create a debt that we can't pay. I can't go back in time and un-yell at my wife. Not admitting to yelling at my wife, that would be wrong, but I'm just saying if I hypothetically ever would have in our long time that we've been married, I can't undo that. You can't un-yell at somebody. You can't un-gossip. You can't take the lie back. You can't undo the stuff that you... Because even if you try to make up for it, all you're doing is like say, okay, so I'm impatient with my wife, and then I buy her flowers. Do the flowers make up for being impatient? No. Why? Because I should buy her flowers anyway. That's just something good I should do. That doesn't pay the debt. We can't pay the debts for the stuff that we've done that we shouldn't do. We can do good stuff, but it doesn't restore the bad stuff that we should. We can never undo the stuff. There's not a control Z or whatever, you know, command Z. You can't undo it. So we carry this debt around with us, and that's what condemns us. That's what condemns us. It condemns us before other people, because other people know stuff we've done. I've spoken in front of you guys long enough that you know stuff that I've done. And so I'm condemned in your eyes, and I'm condemned in my own eyes, because I know stuff that I've done, stuff that you guys don't know. And so that list of condemnation and the debt that I carry around is even bigger for me than it is for you condemning me. And then we're condemned before God. Our debt, the stuff that we do that we shouldn't do, that weight of I should have and could have but didn't, and I'm not a good person, we're condemned before God, because he knows even more than I can remember. It's his debt we carry around. And here's the idea from our text. Go to Colossians chapter 2. The big idea from this text, and as soon as I say it, you're going to say, that's an idea from another text, and we'll read that other text at the end. So, but it's in this text too. In Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation for everyone who is in Christ. If you're in Christ, God forgives completely, and he removes the weight, the debt, the thing that condemns us, the thing that we carry around that we feel bad about. God removes that from his children. Look in verse 9. He starts with this idea that if you're in Christ, you're complete. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. So God is in Jesus, and Jesus is God. And you have been filled or been made complete in him. If you're in Christ, you have been made complete. And then he starts talking about what it means to be made complete in Christ. And one of the things that he says, and look down to verse 13, is that you're forgiven. There's no condemnation for you. The debt and the weight of everything you've done has been lifted off of you. So look at how it starts, because verse 13 doesn't start with debts and condemnation being lifted. In fact, it goes the other way. It says you think you're bad, you're worse than you think you are. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. It starts out by saying you think that you're bad sometimes when you remember stuff that you shouldn't have done and stuff you should have done. But you're worse than you think you are. You're not just bad. You're spiritually dead. You're dead before God. You're dead because you've sinned and you've rebelled against him. You've been your own boss and you've made your own decisions. And you've been you, which is wonderful, except you were made to serve him. And so we rebelled against the king of the universe. And in that, we are dead. We're walking dead, and that God will rain his wrath upon us for having lived in rebellion against him. And then the verse does take a positive turn, because it says, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and God made you alive together with him. So God gives new life to dead people. And that's what we talked about last week. But that ends with a question of how. And then he answers the how. How does God take dead people and make them alive? People that, you know, when you really think about it, you say, I understand why I'm dead, because I've been bad. And the longer that I live, the more bad stuff gets piled up on top of me, and the more my debt of me being bad is, and the worse that I feel when I really think about it. So I understand that God would say that I'm dead, because I'm not good, and I'm bad, and in his eyes, I've rebelled against him. So, okay, I get that, I'm dead, and then he gives me life. That's wonderful, but how does he do that? What does he do with that debt of me, my badness, the stuff that I've done that I shouldn't have done? What does he do with that? What happens to that? What happens with my guilt? And so then keep reading in verse 13. God made us alive with him, with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses. All the times. That's what sin is. It's offenses. It's trespasses. It's going against God's will. So we offend God with our sin. We go against him when we disobey him. So in the same way that we can grab that concept, because I know if I sin against you, that I'm offending you. I'm going against you. I'm hurting you. And you know that, and you feel that, and you make me feel that, and you sin back against me, and then now we're not talking, and because we've hurt each other, we've gone against each other, we've offended each other. In the same way, when I disobey God, I'm offending God. I'm going against God. I'm hurting him. It's not just what I'm doing. It's the fact that by me saying I'm going to do what I want to do, in spite of the fact that it's what you're telling me not to do, I'm telling my Creator, I don't want you. I don't love you. I don't care about you. I want to live my own life, and I want you to stay over there, and I want to be me, and I don't need you. And we're rejecting the king of the universe. We're every time we sin against him, we disobey him, we're trespassing against him. And what does he say he does with all of that? That's our debt. That's what condemns us. It says he's forgiven us. He forgives our offenses. He blots out our disobedience. And the word he uses is interesting. I'll read it in the English, because it's clear in the English. Well, that's the only language we have to go to for this word to be clear. Having forgiven us all. Isn't that an incredible word when you think about all the bad stuff you've done over the course of your life? And God says, if you're in Christ, I've forgiven you all of it. That is an incredible thing. He forgives every time that I've disobeyed him, everything that I've done and that I've thought and that I've felt and that I've said against his will, everything, all of it. He forgives all of it. So how does he do that? How does he forgive that debt of our trespassing against him? And that's a good question to ask because something has to happen with a debt. You know, if you've ever owed money to anyone, you know something that just doesn't magically go away. So how does God forgive us for our trespassing, offending him? Look in verse 14. He forgives us by canceling the record of debt. So look at the last part of that. Everything that we've been saying, like in the introduction, there's this, you know, our offenses, our sin, the times when I disobey God and the times that I hurt you, that creates this debt that I owe you and that I owe God and that I can't pay. That's not a made-up concept. That's not something that just kind of makes sense. That's what the Bible says. There's a record of debt. There's a record of every time that I've disobeyed God. That even the times, have you ever like done something you shouldn't, like against somebody, like you were mean to them, and then you go back and say, "I'm sorry, I talked to you like that, or I said that in that way," and they're like, "Oh, that didn't register for me." It did for God. He saw what was in your heart and that you were mad at that person, and even if they didn't get it, he saw it. So there's this record of every single time, every time that we've disobeyed, every time, every lie that I've told, and every time that I've gossiped, and every time that I've asked a question, because I don't want to gossip, but I want you to gossip to me about somebody, every time that I've complained, talk about a long list, everything that I've thought or said or done that wasn't pure and that wasn't noble and that wasn't right, every time that I've been violently angry on the inside and every time that I've felt bitterness against another person, everything that I've done that wasn't right and just, all of that, there's a record of that. Isn't that a horrible thought? There's a record of all of that, every single thing, every single time. There's a record of that debt, and it's a debt that separates me from God. That's why there's a record of debt. That's that I would rather God didn't use that word, because if I owe God for every time that I've disobeyed him, then logically that's going to separate me from him. Have you ever had somebody owe you money and loan somebody like $50 or $100 or I don't know, whatever, just and to you, you were thinking, no big deal, we're friends. But then what happened? How long were you friends after that? Isn't that horrible that you're not friends anymore because you loaned him money and you were thinking, and so then what do you do after that? I'm not going to loan anybody money. I give you money, but, and don't take that literally, I give you money, but I'm not going to loan you money because I want to still be friends when we're done with this whole thing. That's what debts do. They separate people, and that's what our debt does between us and God. It separates us from God. And what does God say? He cancels the record of debt. He puts it in zero. He takes everything that I owe him and he says, you owe me nothing. That is an incredible thought. And then to continue with that, he says, by canceling the record of debt, so think of that record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Everything that was in that record of debt, the things that I've done against God, the times I've disobeyed, it's a legal demand between me and my Creator where He comes to me and says, you owe me this, you can't pay me back this, you can't undo what you did. But something has to be done about that because you offended the King of the universe. You will be punished for all of eternity. My wrath will rain down upon you because you lived as your own boss. And you want proof? Well, look at this record. You're going to get tired before you get to the end of it. There are legal demands between us and God, and they condemn us. And then look at the first part of that phrase. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Those legal demands, they've offended the King of the universe. You deserve his wrath. That stands against us. That's what our enemy is in life. That's where our enemy is. That's what stands against us. It's the stuff that we've done against God. It's the stuff that I've done. I've created what stands against me, and I'm defenseless against it. I can't do anything against that because I've created that problem. You know how we like to think that our true problem is like outside of us. It's the stuff they do to me and those people and my boss and my job and the economy and the whoever the president's, that's the whatever is happening out there. That's the problem. If my wife and kids and family and job and boss would just change, life would be good. But they're the problem with me. And this says, no, what stands against me is me, is what I do. That's what is my enemy. I'm my own problem because I offend God and I create this debt between us. And so what does he do with this? This he set aside. He says he cancels it. He sets it aside. He doesn't put us on a payment plan. Being a Christian, listen, being a Christian is not a, I understand I've offended God. Now I got to do more good stuff than bad stuff for the rest of my life. And maybe that will eventually balance out what I owe God. That's not what being a Christian is. It's not a payment plan. It's not God reducing our debt to an amount that's not ridiculous. It's not God ignoring the debt. Have you ever said sorry to somebody, like you did something and get something, they're like, ah, whatever, it's okay. Do you feel better after that? Do you feel like they really forgave you? Like, no, you're still mad at me. Either forgive me or say that you're still mad at me. God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, no, it's okay, I'm going to ignore your debt. He sets it aside. He completely removes it between us and him. And then if you say, well, how in the world does God do that? Because if we owed him all of this, how does he just ignore it and set it aside? My bank doesn't do that. That's not how debts work. That's not a fair way for debts to work. I mean, I would like my bank to ignore my debt, but if they ignored everybody's debt, then we would all be in trouble. So I don't want them to ignore everybody's debt. How does he ignore and cancel my debt with him? Because God is just, and it's not fair for him to take the offenses that I've done and him to say, that's okay. I'm just moving that aside. I'm going to cancel that. Don't worry about it. Even if that feels okay for me, I know it's not fair because the people that I've sinned against, that I've offended, they would raise their hand and say, that's not fair. I've been hurt in this transaction. He offended me when he disobeyed you. So it's not fair that you just ignore what he owes you. How does God set our debt aside and cancel it? Look at what happens. Nailing it to the cross. That's what happens to our debt. That's what happens to what we owe God. God compiles all of our debts, and when we enter into Christ, everything we've done against him, everything that we owe him, everything that we can't pay, he doesn't ignore it because that wouldn't be just, and God is just. He's fair. He doesn't just ignore it, but rather he takes it and he places it upon his son. And Jesus takes that, when it says nailing it to the cross, the way that our debt got nailed to the cross is because it was carried. He carried our iniquities. He carried our debt, what we owed God, and he was nailed to the cross. And so Jesus, in our place, received on the cross God's wrath being poured out upon him, what you and I deserve because we have offended God. But Jesus in our place receives that wrath. And so when we are in Christ, God looks at our debt, everything we owe him, all the times that we have done what we shouldn't do, and he says, that's been paid. I've extracted justice for that, not on you, but on my son. Jesus in our place means that we can be free and forgiven and escape God's wrath. And if you say, okay, I get that that's what the verse is saying, but just like where we started at, I don't walk around feeling like I'm free from my condemnation. In fact, the opposite. I walk around and I remember stuff and I feel very guilty. I feel full of condemnation. Maybe you're a Christian and you say, I'm in Christ, but I don't feel like I'm free from condemnation. Maybe you're not a Christian. You haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, but you look forward and you say, even if I became a Christian, I could never be free from the condemnation for all the bad stuff I've done. And the reality is, go to Romans 8. This is a verse that I referenced in the idea from this text. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Look at what he says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to be someone who can read that and say, that's me. That's me. There's no condemnation. I know. I'm painfully aware of all the bad stuff I've done and how bad I am. But there is no condemnation for me because Jesus paid the price for my debt. And I am free in Him. And if you hear that this morning and you say, I'm still thinking about Jesus and I haven't decided to give myself to Him, this is it. This is the biggest reason why you would make the decision to give yourself to Christ, because you're carrying around guilt. We all do. But the guilt and the condemnation that you feel if you're not in Christ is deserved, because it's for stuff you've done. You deserve to feel guilty and condemned, because just like all of us either are or were, you are guilty and condemned. But this verse is an invitation to you. You can be saved. You can be free from that. You can be free from the debt of condemnation that you carry with you. And all you have to do, and this is the part that doesn't make sense, because you say, we feel like we have to pay back, and that's the part that doesn't make sense in this. To receive forgiveness, you have to give yourself to Jesus. You repent, are baptized, and you tell Jesus, I want to follow you. I will surrender to you. And when you do that, you enter into Christ, and you become God's child, and the debt that you owe the Father is removed from you. That's what it means to be a Christian. And if you have never made the decision to give yourself to Christ by repenting and being baptized, in this community, you can do it at any time. Just tell someone, and you can enter into Christ and be free from condemnation. And if you are a Christian, and you've been listening to this the whole time and saying, I love that, but I feel way more condemnation than I should feel. I do stuff and I just feel overwhelmed. Every time I make a mistake, I hear the voice of the accuser saying, you're a bad person. Are you even a Christian? God's not happy with you. And you say, but I am a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I decided to follow Jesus. I repented, was baptized. I know we have to fight. We have to fight. We have to fight against our condemnation. And the best way to do it that I found is with this verse, the Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is a verse that if you are a Christian, it would, I'm going to use a really old word, but it's a good word for the moment. It would behoove, that's the way my dad says it. It would behoove you to memorize that verse. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there are times when I have to just run that on loop in my mind and just repeat it over and over and over again, because I am being condemned by my actions and by the accuser. Does that mean, now this is just real quick, does that mean that I'm free from the consequences of everything I've done, that I don't have to make restoration for the bad stuff that I've done? I'm in Christ, no condemnation. I still have to restore. That's part of being God's child, is to repair and restore the damage that I have done and that I will continue to do, and to fight against my flesh and to be the person God wants me to be. But as I fight and I fail and I fight and I fail, I have to repeat to myself, there is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Make that your fighter verse. And every time the accuser gets in your mind, tell yourself, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, thank you for being good to us, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for wonderful, wonderful verses like the one we got today that remind us of how incredible it is when you save us. You don't save us into a life of trying to be good enough. You save us into immediately. You remove the debt of everything we owe you, and you make us good enough. You make us acceptable in your sight. And when we think about how bad we are, we are overwhelmed with joy and thankfulness and awe that you would do that. Thank you for Jesus and for the cross. In His name we pray. Amen.